Forrest.
Brad Forrest.
Dan Hampton.
Guys, I can't take it.
It's all about that game.
Ed Obradovich.
Yeah, okay. Goss.
Hey! What's the question?
Glenn Kozlowski.
Okay, let's move on.
Touchdown, Bears!
An OP show with Kaz, sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and ChevyDriveChicago.com on the station with the best Bears coverage, 720 WGN.
Ho, 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 Merry Christmas. Bears 20.
Happy holidays.
Happy holidays. Bears 20, Browns 3.
Oh, Merry Christmas.
Yeah, both. Both.
Hanukkah has come to an end for all our Jewish listeners out there and everything else you're celebrating.
Kwanzaa's around the corner.
There we go. Hamp and OB with Kaz, presented by ChevyDriveChicago.com. Win number 5 in the books as the Bears defeat the Browns 20-3, and I thought you...
We should... Hey, no. We feel sorry for everyone that had to watch that.
We do.
Like us. Now, the fans, that's their own volition. That's their choice. Unfortunately for Kaz and OB and I and you today, that was miserable. You know, okay, we beat Cleveland. A winless game. I mean, it's a winless
team
game against a winless team. It's a there's it's an, you know, and I got to tell
and
you,
we got every break in the book.
I'm just
for
telling
four quarters to lucky we won the game.
If it was 80-0, we'd still be PO'd about how crappy our team plays under this asinine coaching staff. And again, I mean, folks, we're here every day going, okay, what was the driver of the game, the player of the game? You know what the player of the game was? And we'll get to it. But take a guess. What was
Cleveland
the player of the
lined
game?
Up offsides on defense,
yeah,
and got a touchdown call back. That was the play of the game.
And Cleveland, you know, when you're around the league like we are, we got to – I'm watching the Rams. I'm watching Philly. You got to know what's going on. We heard how bad Cleveland is. They underestimated the severity of the problem. This team is beyond miserable. And so, for us to go out there and roll around in the snow with these bums from Cleveland, there's nothing good that we could really say about this game. Our you know, and OB, I think you had the line of the day in the boardroom. You said, you know what? This is game 11 for Trubisky. Game 11. And the more I see, the less I like about what he does.
That's exactly correct, Dan. And watching this game and the people that watched that television and those poor souls that were out there.
41,000.
You want to talk about inept coaching on both sides of the ball, offense and defense, on both teams. One's, oh, what? They're 0-what now?
16?
0-16. We won our fifth game. We've had a quarterback here since the spring. Did you watch him today? Did you watch his throws? Did you watch his footwork? Has this coaching staff brought this kid along? I'll tell you what. I am holding back on anything about him. And anybody thinks that we're going to put everything on Mitch Trubisky's shoulders to take us to the promised land, you're sadly mistaken. He's got pathetic footwork, and he's not an accurate passer. And when he's supposed to break out in the pocket, he doesn't. Now, that's what I see. You people out there might see something different. I've watched this kid since the day he got here in bewilderment of how the hell they could give up an entire draft to draft this kid. He should come in here on top of the clouds and taking us all the way up to the top. We got a general manager that gives everything up to get him, and he says, well, we don't want to play him this year. For God's sakes, pace! This is 16 games. The game of football is now, not next week, not 2 years from now, 3 years. You don't have the luxury of hockey, of basketball, of baseball, 100-some games, 80, 90-some games. The game of football is now, and I don't think you understand it, Pace, and I'm going to tell you something. I know damn well this coaching staff's gone, but I'm going to tell you something. Pace has got to get out of this town. You look at his free agent signings. For everyone that he found that's a halfway decent player, you got five that suck.
That is the truth. And here's
Merry Christmas.
You know, and here's the best way to sum up this game today. And every Bear fan out there and any football, National Football League fan will understand what I'm going to say. And Dan, you said it because we were trying to describe what this game was about today. It was the fourth preseason game of the year, and not one player out on the field was an NFL
played
player.
In the game. Exactly.
And that's what this damn game looked like today. You look like a bunch of players that didn't belong in the National Football League. And the Cleveland Browns GM came in and said that, hey, we don't have any players. We're bad.
John,
but the Bears lived up to that billing and were equally as bad.
No, we played down to them.
Right. That's what I'm saying. They lived up to the billing of the – we know the Browns don't have NFL players, but apparently either do the Bears because they were one lineup offsides call away from being behind and probably losing the damn game.
Okay. Now – to back up my opening.
I'm just saying.
I know, my opening volley.
I usually don't get this bad, but this pisses me off. I can't stand it anymore.
Let me tell you something, Glenn. When I mentioned with Pace, with free agency signings, he went out. We needed receivers, okay? Like he didn't know that. He goes out, folks, and gives $11 million to Marcus Wheaton. For you people that don't know who the hell he is, he's a receiver for the Chicago Bears. I believe it was last week as a wideout for the Chicago Bears, he caught his third, let me repeat that, 1, 2, 3, his third pass of the season, of which the $11 million two-year contract, $6 million is guaranteed. And this is the general manager that's going to draft and bring free agents and going to take us out of to the promised land?
No
You're
chance.
Sorely mistaken. He
no
doesn't
chance.
Know what the hell he's doing. And it's enough already with people covered for his backside.
Wait.
He's a good scout. He's a good scout, Dan. That's what he is.
Are you telling me, OB, $6 million for three catches? Let's do the math. Okay.
That's what it is.
Okay. $2 million a catch.
$2 million a catch, and his average was like 3.8 yards.
All right.
How
about Mike Glennon, the quarterback that he was going to be
the quarterback
of the future in free agency? He gives him $18.5 million, folks, guaranteed this year.
That's $2.5 million a turnover.
I was gonna keep him a little bit more, but you look at the stupidity of went out there today. I know we won the game. I'll guarantee you, this is another game we all agree. Bears got every break in the book, every break in the book again. And I'm gonna tell you, so we put 20 points on the board.
We win the game
20-6 to a team that hasn't won the game. Did you just see Kaiser, their quarterback? He was a full count behind on everything. His pass, his running plays, his recognition. Take a look at our guy. He's about a half a count behind. Both of them bad footwork. And both of them, everybody had high draft choices. And I'm going to tell you, folks, if you don't think that this is a mess, you're kidding yourself. Unbelievable.
312-981.
I'm sick of it.
312-981-7200. That is the phone number. Hampton will be with Kaz. We're with you till 6 o'clock today on CLTV till 4. Merry, Merry Christmas. Christmas Eve. Start of the show is sponsored by Parent Petroleum. The Bears inactive today. Compton, Sitton, Hall, Mark Sanchez. Marcus Wheaton is not on there. Marcus Wheaton was not targeted today. Marcus Wheaton was barely on the field. Yeah.
$6 million.
Mark,
he just threw it out the window.
$6 million guaranteed.
Out the window.
And this guy, and he caught his third pass last year, and he was supposed to be the guy coming in that, oh, he's going to break it open. He's got speed. He's got this. He's got the rhythm. He's got everything. You know. And the other thing again, I'm talking about Pace. Whoever the pro scouts are, who's head of pro scouting and college scouting, you're gone. And take every one of those scouts you got with you. That's pathetic. You people went out and recommended the Pace and the Fox, the receivers that we had, and pay them this kind of money? You got a good high school football team would have kicked our ass.
Well, the Browns weren't that.
No, I'm telling you, it was the fourth preseason game of the year. Yeah. That's what it was. We were watching the fourth quarter of the fourth preseason game. A game where everybody has put their starters down and said, okay, the NFL season's going to start next week. So let's throw everybody else out there, and who cares? That's what we got to watch today. And there was, what, 21,000 no-shows, Dan? And thank God they didn't show up, because that was an embarrassment to watch that garbage today.
And you know what? Hey, that's more fake news. 21,000, it was 35,000. I'm telling you, the stadium was less. Okay, the age-old question. Was the stadium half empty or half full?
Right.
Which one?
So what the Bears announced today was that 58,796 tickets were distributed, 41,257 in actual attendance, 17,539 in unused seats. And if you go back to Christmas Eve last year, the Bears at home, there was 39,837 there. So 41,257 this year, which means that, in theory, there are more Bears fans this year. Look, than there were last year.
Our genius has brought Pace in here as a general manager, and what he's done. Okay, supposedly in the top shelf, bringing this guy in, do this, do that. You know, he came, folks, from the New Orleans Saints. You know what the Saints' record is today? 11-4 since he's gone. They've gotten better every year since we got this guy over here. Take a look at us. Take a look at what the hell Fox has done. Take a look at what Pace has done. And you're going to retain Pace?
Who knows what they're going to do?
Well, I mean, look, for sure the coaching staff is miserable.
Hey, Glenn,
we
it's
saw that
already.
We saw that.
For Pace.
But I agree. I agree. No. Pace is gone. In my book, Ed, you and I had him gone. Dan is being a realist, saying, hey, Pace is going to be around. But personally, I agree with you. Start from the top, and you work down, and you start over. Period. End of story.
And think about this. You know, presidents don't kick themselves out of office. They get rid of the generals, right? Well, they're going to get rid of Fox, and he's going to say, he was never my choice. This is where and what I want to do. And so it's going to buy him another 2, maybe 3 years. But you guys, I got to tell you, the last month, all of just the downward spiral of the entire franchise. Again, you know, so much. How many times today did we all look at each other like, are we sick of even having to be here? We need to reevaluate our careers, Carmen.
Well,
I do.
Yeah. What are we doing to ourselves?
We're torturing ourselves in this boardroom eating
maybe
food.
Make sure there's an ambulance right outside this door.
Well, it was about mid game today. OB just turned to me. So, what exactly are you trying to do with your life? Why are you here right now? And I think you were actually talking about yourself, OB, in some way, shape, or form. You were putting it on me.
If you can't see how pathetic, folks, when you get coaches, they're supposed to take these kids at this level and communicate with them and get their story across. Their story got across all right. We got two quarterbacks. If you put them together, they couldn't make a decent quarterback, and that's what happened. Don't let people listen to me, folks. Don't let these people around here sell you on Trubisky. My God, what he came in, this was his 11th game, and you tell me how much better he got from the fourth game when he started, okay? You tell me how much better he's gotten, how good the coaching was, how they brought him along. My God, we won 3-4 games. How many times have we been down on somebody's 23-yard line or whatever, and it's in the third quarter, fourth quarter, and this guy will punt or do something stupid and won't even go to the end zone. Won't throw the ball into the end zone. You can't make this stuff up.
Hey. Poor footwork, poor everything, Ed.
Hey, Carmen, I'm just going to tell you this. If it was up to OB, Ryan Pace would be announcing next year's draft choice from prison with Rod Blagojevich.
Well, I mean, what he's done is criminal, Dan. You're right. What he's done, the money he spent, and the return has been zero.
Look at his free agent signings. I defy anybody to tell me.
Marcus Cooper, Sims, Dimps, Glennon, over $40 million. We've gotten zero from any of them.
Well, you had today Trubisky playing. Okay? Folks, you know what this kid makes? In excess of $26 million.
Do
you hear what I'm telling you? He had a $19 million signing bonus and a 4-year, $29 million guarantee on his contract. So that means
add it up,
he's making $25, $26 million. Plus, giving Mike Glennon, who was going to take us to the promised land, he was the quarterback of the future until that idiot made that up move. He's guaranteed, gave him $43 million and guaranteed $18.5 million. And you want this guy? He's the face of the Bears? He's the one that talks for the Bears' pace?
He
doesn't know his backside from his front side.
He's a decent scout.
Between the two of them, we have no quarterbacks rated in the top 30 in the NFL.
And no Pro Bowlers for the third straight year, which is it's really hard to do.
This was pathetic.
Nobody in Green Bay was made to Pro Bowl. They want to recount on the votes. They can't believe it. Here, we just accept it.
312-981-7200. Hampton, OB, Merry Christmas with Kaz, with you till 6.
And by the way, Merry Christmas.
Merry damn Christmas.
20-3, Bears did beat the Browns.
They did win today. I know it's shocking, but they did win.
Hard to tell from that opening segment.
Yeah, but you know what, Mark? It was so pathetic. Come on.
I feel you.
The game for any way you want to go about it.
Ed, how many times today, and I know we got to go to break, but how many times today did Mitchell Trubisky have his feet together, close together, and throwing the ball high and behind the receiver? At least a half a dozen times today.
Without a doubt.
14-23, Trubisky. We'll get to your calls. We'll get into the performance of Mitchell Trubisky today. The announcers loved it on the broadcast. 720.
Well, they're a bunch of stooges.
Something else we got to talk about.
720 WGN.
This is the Chevy Hamp and OB Show with Kaz. Sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and ChevyDriveChicago.com on 720 WGN.
History made today in the John Fox era. He came in. The kind of unbelievable, let's put it, 0-7 in games where the Bears were favored. The Bears were favored today by 6 points, and they actually won a football game. John Fox has won one game in his Bears tenure when they actually were favored. You want to give credit to John Fox, Ham?
No. Nobody should get paid for what we saw today. On either team, either coaching staff, nobody should be paid.
Mueller, let's do yes, OB.
Before we go to break, I got the mood that I'm in right now.
Yeah.
I want to say to Great Bear fans, my friend Ben Manella and his lovely wife, Lori. Lori, get off Ben's back. He's not going to retire.
Ben and Lori
Manelli.
Manelli.
Lori, again, get off his back. He ain't going to retire.
It's Big Ed, he is the best. And he can just bring it from anywhere.
It's my favorite part of every show is the OB shout-out to somebody.
And to Miss Fox, go ahead and let him retire, please.
Yes. It's okay. We would like him to retire.
Let's do the Mueller game-changing moment. Shout-out to Mike Mueller, sponsored by the Mueller family of dealerships in Hoffman Estates, Gurnee, Highland Park, and Maryville. Hamp.
Well, it has to be the complete idiocy of the Cleveland Browns defensive lineman, Nasib. He lines up offsides when, during the course of the play, very first play of the second half.
First drive,
they batted a ball by Trubisky, and Myles Garrett, the first overall pick in the draft,
had a touchdown.
Takes it back for a touchdown. Oh, wait a minute. Nasib was offsides. Not only do the Bears get the ball back, but they throw, two screen passes. Next thing you know, boom, bow, they score a touchdown, game over.
14-point swing.
Yep.
Made it 13-3. Carl Nasib in his second season.
And it really PO'd us. I'm telling you. And again, we want this team exposed for who they are. The Bears are who we tell you they are, not what you read.
Let's also give a shout-out to our good friends at Mr. Submarine. Good food at a tasty price. That's Mr. Submarine.
That's one highlight of the day.
It's delicious.
There, isn't it, Ed?
You got it. It's great food. The little gal that comes here, she's such a sweetheart. They're wonderful people.
Yeah, and Obi crushed an apple pie today. Did you not? It was
delicious. Yes, I did.
Yes, you did. Locations throughout Chicago and open late at night. Visit MrSubmarine.com. We'll get to your calls right after the 3:30 news. This is 720 WGN. We're on CLTV until 4 o'clock.
Touchdown, Bears!
Chicago Bears conversation is here. The Chevy Hamp and OB Show with Kaz. Sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and ChevyDriveChicago.com on 720 WGN.
Bears beat the Browns 20-3. And it is true. The Bears have swept the AFC North, beat the Steelers, beat the Ravens, smoked the Bengals, and beat the 0-15 Browns today.
And there's just one little problem with that. We don't play in the AFC North as far as our ability to make the playoffs. Think about this. How many games have we won in the NFC North? Do you know?
That would be
zero.
Zero.
Absolute zero. And not only has, you know, this Fox farce gone to the 10th exponent here on a weekly basis, I think he's won four games in 3 years in the NFC North. Think about that. You get to play six a year, and we've won four.
It's hard to do. Very, very hard to
do. Let's get to the callers.
14-33 now is John Fox as your head coach of the Chicago Bears. Hey, who brought it today? Sponsored by Blue Cross Blue Shield of Illinois. You know what to bring. I have a candidate if no one jumps to mind.
Dude, I have no idea.
Campbell, you got a candidate?
No, Kyle Fuller actually played pretty well and got an interception.
See, it's unbelievable that Ham's just always on point with the stuff, as you all are. But six passes defended today by Kyle Fuller, Kazi. That's the most by a Bears player, according to Stats Inc., since they started tracking that stat back in 94.
And he matched up against Gordon most of the day. So Gordon was the big play receiver for the Cleveland Browns, and he pretty much shut him down. Eight targets, he only had two catches.
Gentlemen, wait a minute. Just hold on, boys. We beat a team that's 0-15.
No one's celebrating here, OB. Don't worry. Don't worry,
but
got you.
I think what OB's saying is, hey, you know, that quarterback,
ooh,
you know,
it was rough.
I mean, he said he was a full beat behind. Two
yes.
beats. Oh, there's a guy. Let me take the ball. And 3 seconds later, he decides to throw it. Well, who can't jump a route?
The ball that Fuller intercepted in the corner of the end zone was one of the worst throws. That would be something you would see on a recreation field, really.
That's my point.
A youth football league, you'd see that kind of pass. I don't think you'd see it on a good high school team, that kind of throw.
Right. 312-981-7200. Let's get some calls in here. By the way, OB's looking for positives. If you have anything that was positive today, if you were at the game and you just made it through the whole 60 minutes, we'd love to hear from you. Matt, what's going on? Welcome to 720 WGN.
Hello, everyone, and Merry Christmas to you all. I'm glad to see that you're at least laughing today. It brings a little cheer to my and warmness to my heart to make sure that you guys aren't just screaming and you are laughing a bit in studio. Are they going to fire Fox? Most definitely. Are they going to fire him the day before Christmas? Probably not. Are they going to fire him right after Christmas or by the end of next Sunday? Most definitely. Are they going to fire Pace? I don't think so. I think that he's going to fire Fox to save his job.
Yeah.
And that's just me.
Right. Well, and I think, Dan, you have held true to that throughout the year, right, Ham?
I'm folks, look,
thanks, Matt.
Again, you know, the old quandary. Okay, so your girlfriend says she, you know, you're breaking. Okay, who are you going to get? So right now, who would make that call? Well, it'd be a combination of George McCaskey and Ted Phillips. Neither one knows who or what to do. So why would they expect? You know, it's the same reason Phil Emery gave Jay Cutler a $120 million contract. Everybody goes, what are you doing? Wait, well, how can he do that? Guess what? Self-preservation. He gives him that contract and makes two things. Number one, well, that's our quarterback. There's no dilemma there. And it makes you look like you know what you're doing for at least another year. So the same thing will apply here. George and Ted are going to basically say, Ryan, we can't go in this direction any further. Do what has to be done. And Ryan Pace ain't going to fire himself, so he's going to fire Fox and buy himself some time, OB.
Well, yeah, here's the thing. Pace sets it all up. Somebody above him, there's only two people. One of those guys have to sign off on that, so their signature is also on a lot of stupid things that happen.
And we've talked about it ad nauseum on the show. I just think the overriding thing to do is, hey, Ted Phillips, you've been here for a long time. You've made us a lot of money. You're our accountant, and we're going to hire a president who is going to control the organization, a la Theo with the Cubs, a la John McDonough with the Blackhawks, a la the organizations that are winning in this town.
Jerry Vinici hired him. he was working, I told you before, for Anderson or some accounting firm, and they would send him out for an hour or two or a half a day or a couple of days.
To get pizza.
And to come in and to do whatever with the books with the Bears. And then Jerry Vannesi finally hires him full-time. Lo and behold, here's the general manager who was very integral in one of the greatest teams, if not the greatest team, to ever put on a uniform, the 85 Chicago Bears. And he's out, and that guy is CEO of the Chicago Bears. Go figure.
It is hard to believe. All right, let's move on here. 312-981-7200. Let's go with Mike. You've been waiting the longest. Go ahead, Mike. You're on 720 WGN CL TV till 4.
Hey, guys. Merry Christmas to all of you. And I want to ask you something. I hate the Packers, guys. I'm a longtime Bear fan, but I'm scared of something. I'm worried. The only coach right now on the staff that the Bears have that I think is great, worth keeping, is Vic Fangio. And I know they're going to get rid of Fox, which means he's probably going to go. If there's any way they could keep him, I don't know if they would do that. It's probably not real welcoming, a good welcome mat for a head coach. It's got to, you know, have their defensive coordinator already chosen for him. But my worry is the Packers will get rid of Dom Capers, and then Vic Fangio will go up there, be a great fit for him up in Green Bay. The Bears let him go. What do you guys think about that? I mean, what do you think about that scenario?
Mike, let me tell you something. What you got to think of is Vic Fangio's been here for a while, okay? He knows the organization, who the general manager is, who the head coach is, what's up in ownership, who's up in the front office, and what the philosophies are. I'm going to tell you, I'm going to make this statement. I think that if Fox goes and they fire everybody else, I think Vic Fangio's out of here. I don't think we'd want to become head coach of the Chicago Bears under what these rules are that are now with the Chicago Bears. I don't think he's going to be here. Would you want, Mike, would you want to be the defensive coordinator again here? Okay, under somebody else when you just went through what you've gone through? I don't think so, Mike.
He might be super happy about having a new guy in
there. There's a chance he could end up in Green Bay. I mean, you know, I think.
My point is him staying here.
No, I know.
Vic Fangio staying here. That's my point.
But this is another, you know, bit of evidence about the dysfunction of this organization. Vic Fangio wanted a contract extension before the beginning of the year, and guess what? There was some acrimony about it, and it never happened. And then once the season started, and we got off to a decent start defensively, well, apparently they wanted to engage with their talk. And now Vic Fangio basically said, "Is take a hike. He's not interested." And extensions are staying, are in it. And then, see, this is what's so maddening. The perfect time, and I think the normal listeners, you know that the last eight teams over the last two seasons that fired a coach during the course of the NFL season and basically had an interim situation, all eight of those teams have qualified or will qualify this year for the playoffs. So it's a good thing. If they would have done that and put Vic Fangio in after the Green Bay game and got rid of Fox, just think about how much easier it would be going forward to make some decisions instead of now everything is going to be thrown out with the bathwater.
All right, to Mike, our listener, and back at you, Dan, I don't believe that Vic Fangio, he doesn't seem like I think he's a pretty sharp guy, really understands the situation. I totally and completely believe he knows this dysfunctional, and this is a dysfunctional organization right now. The way things have gone from year to year to year to year, I got an idea. Vic Fangio wants the hell out of here.
Yes.
And no question.
No, okay. I personally know of situations where he doesn't care for certain people in the, you know, in the general manager's office, not Ryan Pace, other folks, but more importantly, your point, how this franchise allows this dysfunction of coaches and no accountability and all, and hey, it's a, you know, there's, he's saying, hey, if there's no accountability, there is no path to greatness.
Ownership and the front office up here, that every year, every month, every week, they get punched in the nose. How many times does somebody, how many blows does you have to take before you sit down and understand that you need some serious help in here? You need a guy like John McDonough, who went from the Cubs to the Blackhawks. You need somebody who's got a brain in his head and can maneuver and work and understand and listen. The most important thing is listen, and that's what John McDonough did. This is what you need in here. We go on, they fire this guy, and they bring in another coach and all that, and we got the same thing going on in that front office, gentlemen. We are going absolutely nowhere.
312-981-7200. Take more of your calls coming on back here. And, you know, the Browns are 0-15, but they've got a guy in John Dorsey who's done some pretty good things in this league.
Well, and he's the first guy that said, look, we don't have an NFL roster. That's the first thing the guy said when he walked in there.
Like we
do? 2 weeks ago. Well, that's my point, Ed. Yeah. This guy, who's been around for a long time, proclaimed his team had no NFL players. Well, we didn't. We lived down to that assessment and barely beat a team that doesn't have any NFL players on the roster.
This organization
basically
wants to make you bleed. We got the quarterback in the future. We got the receivers. We got the tight ends. We got this. We have nothing.
312-981-7200. We do have you on 720 WGN CLTV till 4. Bears 20, Browns 3, win number 5 in the book, 720 WGN. Bears did beat the Browns 20-3, avoided that embarrassment. The Browns will have the number 1 overall pick again at 0-15. Bears with one game left as they will take on the Minnesota Vikings on the road. 312-981-7200 happened.
Let's get to that full call board.
Yet we get lots of people who would like to chat about the now 5-10 Bears. Can they get to 6-10? Jim, you want to talk about the kicking game? Jim, you've been on hold forever, so you're up, buddy.
All right, thank you.
Yes, sir.
Hello?
Go ahead, Jim.
Hello?
Fire away.
Yeah. Hey, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year. Hey, Dan, I met you. We talked about how when you were with Arkansas and you beat Oklahoma after Lou Holtz dropped three guys from the team and you were 18-point underdogs and won 31-6, I think it was.
How okay, can you remember?
Okay. And, Ed, you were on the team when you guys that were at Baltimore and knocked out United San Moro in the first half. And then a high school band was playing, on State Street, that great street, and the fans are booing and everything while you guys are in the locker room. Now, what I want to talk about is how you have no straightaway kickers anymore, and maybe they don't get as much yardage, but you didn't see them pulling the ball to the left or pushing it to the right, okay? And I think you were on the team with Matt Percival, and you guys won like three games on field goals, like last minute field goals. And I think one of them came on, I don't know if this rule even exists anymore, but a fair catch was called, and then you guys got a free kick.
Jim, give me a bottom line here, Jim.
I could tell you who that was. That wasn't us. That was the Green Bay Packers. Our coaches didn't know the rule.
Yeah,
that called the time. And Paul Hornung came in. This was after suspension. Paul Hornung comes in and kicks a 51-yard field goal.
How about that?
On the free kick, right.
That's what that was, yes.
Right.
And speaking of the rules, how come Mukamara was not called for a safety after forcibly trying to return and take the ball out of the end zone?
Unbelievable. Blown call.
Yeah.
We're going to have Adam Hogue on at 4:35. People are screaming at me on Twitter. By the way, you can follow me on Twitter at TheCarm, that I don't know the rules. Apparently, there's a rule change here. But to me, and we were all saying the same thing.
I'm not aware of it.
He was obviously, his intent was to get out of the end zone.
If you don't make it out of the end zone, it ends up being a touchback. I know. And
it was
I would agree.
And full commitment, full intent. to run that ball back out of there.
So what?
Okay?
So what you're saying the rule now is because you can have
you
every
can run around
to...
in there as long as you don't go forward and out of the end zone and get knocked back into
he
the end
He did make some steps forward, got blocked off, cut back to his left, tried coming up again, and then finished going all the way around to his left, and that was it.
All right. Speaking of taking a knee, Kerry wants to talk about what happened at the end of the first half. What's up, Kerry? Welcome to WGN. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. Happy holidays. Thanks for being the only bright spot on some of these Sundays after a Bears game. Hey, the last play of the first half was bizarre. So after the kickback return, the punt return, he was kind of confused, and the Bears the receiving team guy just took a knee in the middle of the field, and not a single Brown touched him. Don't you have to be down by contact in the NFL? This isn't college.
No, here's a rule in that, and that's where Dan and Ed is talking about the safety. Well, if you give yourself up as a runner, the play's blown
right,
dead.
It's blown
so
dead.
You don't have to be touched down by contact if you just give yourself up and don't advance the ball and you just basically say, I'm done. And that's why they did that.
Appreciate the call, Kerry. 312-981-7200. Harry! What's up, Harry? Welcome to WGN.
Hi, guys. Hey. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you.
I just want to know that the Bears have done something for me this year that no NFL team has ever done for me.
Giving you five heart attacks?
No. I can actually get up, go to the bathroom, grab me a beer, come back. I didn't miss any action.
Yeah, that's what today was, right?
By any team in the NFL.
Yeah, and you know what? I know it made you so proud when the brave John Fox went for it on 4th-and-1 today. Didn't that just make your chest swell with pride?
The brave,
he's so
does
brave.
Full of pride, all right.
Brave. Oh, he was amazing.
After he threw the challenge flag and still really didn't win it. He didn't win the challenge, but he gutted it out and went for it on 4th-and-an-inch.
Harry, I want to ask you a personal question. Did you actually stay up the entire game today, Harry, or did you fall asleep, take a little nap?
I kind of napped a little bit. I'm 70, but I've been known to stay up for ballet if I have to, but this is crap.
Well, we appreciate you staying up and
Thanks,
watching
Harry.
The Monkey Man Fox.
Hey, Harry, this is a great call. You did a good job, my friend.
Thanks, Harry.
Right. Did you guys see where Fox said he had a monkey as a pet when he was a kid?
That was unbelievable.
Well, guess what? You know what that was? For 3 days on the news, that's all you heard.
Well, that's the best.
All you heard.
That's the best thing that happened all year. Little window into the childhood of a John Fox.
Yeah, but again,
now things are falling into place in my mind.
Why can't this guy figure out how to work his headset? I have never seen a more baffling, dumber looking guy looking down at his little control panel, not having an idea how to talk to people on his headset.
The family killed the monkey. They like tied him up in a tree, and the monkey. Of course, he can't figure out how to use the headset. The family couldn't even keep a monkey alive. How hard?
Yeah, but you got to admit. I mean, it's every week, right? I've never seen a guy that can't figure out how to control his headset. Like this guy, every week.
The bungler.
He's looking down.
The monkey bungler.
Clue.
That's all he is.
He
the whole
no
family, they bungle the monkey.
How does this thing work again? How does this work?
You guys are entirely too critical.
You're right, and I can't wait for 2018 to hear about the monkey bungler being sent packing.
Hey, wait a minute. It ain't over with. We got another week of this, guys.
At least
so
one.
So all you folks tune in next week. If you think this was bad, wait.
312-981-7200. We'll get to a ton of calls coming up here after the 4 o'clock hour. Adam Hoge will be with us at 4:35. Yes, OB?
Before we go out, just some very special people that I've been involved with for a long time.
My favorite.
The Mueller Auto Group, the Orloff Auto Dealer Group, the Patrick Auto Dealer Group, and Parent Petroleum. To all of you people, Merry Christmas, and thanks for hanging in with us here at the show. They're just wonderful people. You want a good deal? Those are the people to see.
What about Gigi? What's your lovely daughter doing for Christmas?
She's watching the show right now.
She is?
She's saying, Dad, you're going to have a heart attack, I would imagine. I get that every
show.
Every
time she sees there isn't a Dad, time, stop and settle down, right?
There isn't a time that I walk into this damn studio And I know where I'm going to go, what I got, stats and everything, and I can't hold it. I can't hold it.
No, you absolutely cannot. And today was a great one because you were walking in, you were so calm, you were peaceful. You were like Zen, OB.
I was actually laughing when I put my coat over there. I'm thinking, you know, what are we going to say now? It didn't take long, though.
Yeah, no. And you know what? Your indictment of Mitchell Trubisky, just one more little log on the fire.
Dan, all you got to see is what...
Wait.
Watch his footwork. Yet.
Wait. We had to mute the television so OB could read his verbatim quotes. Mitchell Trubisky is in Fox's corner. Think about that as we go to break.
This is Chicago's very own 720 WGN Chicago, WGNRadio.com. If you're an Amazon Echo user, just say play WGN Radio on TuneIn. Thank you to the folks at CLTV. Enjoyed being with you on TV from 3 until 4. We'll be with you on WGN until 6 o'clock tonight.
Back to the Chevy Hamp and OB Show with Kaz, sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and ChevyDriveChicago.com on 720 WGN.
WGN. Merry, merry, happy, happy. Hope everyone's having a great Christmas Eve, spending some time with your family, friends, all that, as we get ready for some holiday programming after the show today. And so we're the last live program with you until 6 o'clock today, and then we'll have some...
And we're going to do a vote and see which is more exciting, the game or the taped programming. Hey, folks, I'm just telling you, we're still mad about how bad the situation is. I mean, really, and if Cleveland wasn't such a team of knuckleheads, they could have beat the Bears. The Bears, I mean, we lead the league at playing down to bum teams. And you know what? It's just embarrassing.
Danny, if that thing was let go, where that guy wasn't lined up offside, and yep. Trubisky threw that interception, took it back for pick six. Okay, I think this game would have been totally and completely different.
Sure it would have.
It would have been 10-6 Browns early third quarter, and that would have been a lot more entertaining at least. But the Bears did get a win 20-3. Defensive star of the game brought to you by your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealers at ChevyDriveChicago.com. Hampo?
Kyle Fuller. And you know what? To his credit, you know, he kind of disappeared in games 9, 10, and 11, but he's finishing the season strong, and that's good for a lot of reasons, mainly his contract. But the bottom line is, you know, he's doing what you want corners to do. He's getting after it. He's not biting on double moves. He's playing pretty well.
Different time and different player, and not going to be going to the Hall of Fame like 99 here. But how many knee surgeries do you have, Hamp?
Bunch.
Yeah. Okay. Well, so Kyle Fuller last year set out the whole season with arthroscopic knee surgery. And now, right?
Some people can't handle it.
Yeah. I mean,
Urlacher, remember, he, the same thing. Urlacher, you know, it was like he hurt his knee and he never could change direction again. Some people, it wrecks them.
Well, let me tell you what this big man did in his career. He had 12 knee operations.
I thought it was more. Was it 12?
He had 12.
12
more.
When I present him into the Hall of Fame, well, it must have been more, but what that's all when I did all
you
my.
You struggle
work
with big numbers.
I'm sorry. If I said it's 12, it's 12.
If I said it's 12, it's 12.
It's 12.
I thought. Me three out the window, Mark.
I didn't have 27, 19. He had 12 knee operations.
I think it was 16, but okay. 16 is 12. Okay, I got you. Last year I asked to be set. I swear it was 16. I forgot it was 15 or 16, but maybe it was 12. I don't want to fight with you, OB. That's for sure.
Hey, we're just going to move on.
But the point is that here's a guy who you. The reason why I'm asking is you have a decision to make on Kyle Fuller. You going to sign him to a long term contract? You going to franchise him, pay him way more than you're paying him now? He's been one of your better players this year, even though he's had up and down season. I mean, that's a big time decision for him. What are you going to do with Kyle Fuller, Hamp? OB.
And you know what?
If it's free agency,
he's a free agent.
Somebody's going to come up with something. The Bears are going to have to match it.
I'm not sure
the Bears are going to jump right in there and try to sign him right away. They're going to listen and see what's out there.
Yeah, but
it'll go from there.
Right. Are you paying him?
Well, this could be another potential, you know, botched signing by Ryan Pace. We'll be watching with, you know, holiday glee here.
So you're saying that you would sign him, but you wouldn't overpay.
Okay. Oh, yeah, and okay, well, you and again, you have to kind of test the market and see what he is worth and what he's being offered. Now,
that's what's going to happen.
One other thing. OB and I talked while you were out, and he said, you know, I really feel like Vic Fangio is leaving. And I said, well, think about this. You come back for 3 years. Who the hell are you going to build your defense around? Think about it. Leonard Floyd, a jump-around artist that gets hurt. Akeem Hicks, who's 30. And you know,
how about you got a couple of good linebackers? They have just one slight problem. Little problem with illegal drugs that get suspended every now and then.
Yeah, and I'm just saying, oh, you're going to build it around Eddie Goldman? So I'm just saying, you know, for all the, woo, this is all window dressing and this is great and Kyle Fuller's our defensive player of the game, you really want to build your defense around him? I'm just saying, a lot of hard questions.
What I said a little bit earlier, I'm telling you right now, Fangio, come hell or high water, whatever, I believe he is out of here. He does not want to stay in this nest.
You're right, Ed. 100%.
I bet on it. He wants the hell out of here.
Right. But I would, listen, right now you've got to have, in the passing league, which we all know the NFL is, you have to have cover corners. Kyle Fuller is your best cover corner guy. And I don't believe that Ryan Pace or anybody else in that organization today can find a better cover corner guy. So you got to sign him. You're going to have to pay him because they're not capable of identifying somebody else that could replace him.
Any other organization but this organization, right. I would agree with you, but I'm not.
And they cost themselves, if that turns out to be the case, a ton of money because they declined his fifth-year option. You would have had him at a lot less money for next season.
And he's sticking it to him.
Right.
And he should.
Yeah. All right, let's go to the phones.
Debbie, welcome to WGN. Go ahead, Debbie.
I have a non-technical question for you guys. How'd you like the snow angels that the Bears did after they scored? They seem like such a happy team. I was glad they had time to practice that during the week. What do you think?
Could be a little sarcasm from Debbie.
They actually screwed that up. Three of them were on the ground being snow angels, and the other idiot forgot about it, turned around, came back in, and jumped
over
on the ground.
Yeah,
lucky he didn't break one of his teammates' legs. That's how dysfunctional they are.
Yeah, luckily he didn't land on Trubinsky and hurt him while he was snow angeling on the ground.
Well, the other point is that the snow was actually gone by that point. If they were going to do the snow angel, there was some snow elsewhere. You could have gotten to the snow.
They're the Bears, okay? They're the Bears. Don't forget it. Sorry, Deb.
Thank you, Debbie.
It was lame.
3-1.
That's the best way to describe it. Lame.
312-981-7200. Adam Hoge from Soldier Field in about 20 minutes. Arnie, welcome to WGN. Go ahead, Arnie.
Your show is better than watching the Bear game the last 2 years. It's more entertaining. But I think you guys are missing the boat. This team is not about bad players, bad management, bad coaching. We need new ownership, an owner that's committed. Is there any unwritten law that as long as there's a McCaskey breathing, they're never going to sell the team?
My belief is, Arnie.
Yes.
My belief is this. As long as Virginia is alive, there was just mugs in Virginia that Coach George Ellis, the founder, et cetera, et cetera. And I believe this will never, ever be sold. She will never allow that to happen. Now, good, bad, or indifferent, I don't know. But I've got a feeling there's a few of the McCaskey boys are involved with the Bears, and I think there's a lot of kids in that family. And I think when, God forbid, when Virginia goes, she's a wonderful lady, but I tell you, I think they're going to storm the Bastille because these kids want their money. These other kids, they want their money. My take.
Virginia's going to be 95 years old, and the franchise is worth somewhere between $2 and $3 billion. So,
and that's without a stadium. You know, really, technically, they don't own the stadium. The city of Chicago does.
Yeah.
So it's a big-time value and asset for a team that doesn't own its own stadium. That's a lot of money.
But if you sell the team, then what do you do with your life? How do you spend your days? It's not all about dollars.
Yeah, you know what? If we ask the rest of those other the other family members, they'd tell you. How about the Fiji Islands?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. But
well, I think they'll probably figure it out, won't they? They'd work hard to figure that out.
I think they could figure that out.
I think
out.
We could all maybe figure that one out.
Right, but like I get
you couldn't
that.
Figure it out, Mark?
No, I could. I buy my own island and all that, but at some point, like, this is what you do. You can have your, they can have their island and have the team too,
you know. And by the way, just at sheer coincidence, I told the story of the day Muggsy died to little Dan just Wednesday this week. And you know, he asked me, you know, is Virginia an only child? And I said, no, it was Muggsy. And for a lot of the Bear fans, you don't know, 1979, the morning of the last game, it was against the St. Louis Cardinals. We all came downstairs at the North Shore Hilton where we spent the nights before the games. And I said, well, everybody's acting weird. I said, well, who died? And they said, Muggsy. Muggsy had died during the night. And from that moment on, everything changed with the direction of the franchise, because then George came back into, you know, old man Hallis, he came back to the controls, and then when he passed, then Mike McKeskey took over.
So Muggsy was beloved, for those who don't know, myself included, or not really?
He basically was, you know, Papa Bear's right-hand man.
Okay.
And he was, you know, he was... I was only there, you know, for a little while, but he seemed to be in good favor with a lot of the players. They liked him.
OB, perhaps.
Yeah, I think that's pretty much what it was at that particular time.
But think of the trajectory. If he was still in control, he was the one that went and got Jim Finks. Mm-hmm. So all of these other decisions were made post Muggsy.
Right. And then what happened after the old man found out that Finks was a part owner of the Bears at some real small percentage? Finks was fired. Get out of our organization. Muggs, you made a mistake.
Got to protect that money. All right, James, welcome to WGN. You want to talk about John Fox? Go ahead. Let's get back on track or whatever we're doing.
Yeah, is this my chance?
This is your chance, pal. Don't blow it.
Well, I won't, and Merry Christmas and go Bears. But I just want to say we hired John Fox. He's got a sneaky defense. Let's look back at the GM and how he looks for conviction, which means he needs other people to make his choices on picks. And here we are losing opportunities to win in the offseason, and yet we're struggling to beat the Cleveland Browns. I would just go back to what Hampton is saying, and the administration is throwing around manhole covers and acting like they're nickels. Let's go spend some money and get some real players that can line up on first down through third down.
Which, oh, thanks, James. That's not the case, though. The finances.
There's a salary cap, so everybody's at the same amount. So they're going to spend the same amount of money. It's just identifying the talent, and that's what's been missing in this organization is, as Ed has pointed out all year, they continue to make huge mistakes. You've rattled off about $70 million of mistakes this year in free agency.
Glenn, absolutely. It's incredible. And I keep making, you know, trying to go back to if this guy Pace, if you had him out, I've been out in the real world for quite a long time and a lot of huge corporations and a lot of money and people I've seen run. If this guy, somebody brought him in, and in 3 years what he's pulled, they'd run him out of town.
Think about this. 3 years at the controls, how many Pro Bowlers have we had? Which is a general manager is supposed to.
Dan, we can't win a damn football game.
Well, but to win football games, you got to get good players. Good players make Pro Bowls.
Right.
Zero. Don't give me this Kyle Long crap. You know, he's got a name and he plays two games hurt and everybody votes him in, you know, on the backside. The last 3 years, he has not been a good player. And he made it on rep, and reputation, replacement type player. There has been zero starters or zero first day ballot starters on the Pro Bowl for the Bears. And the year we won the Super Bowl, we had 10. We have zero in 3 years. Think about it.
And they're 14-33. I mean, you know, that's the other part of that equation also.
And to the money point, the last year in the offseason, the Bears spent $83 million on non-rookie contracts, $83 million on free agents, basically. That was number two in the whole league of teams that did not make the playoffs. The Dolphins spent 96, then the Bears, then the Raiders, the Lions, the Redskins, the Browns, the Cardinals, the Fournettes. They're spending tons of money
and not making the playoffs.
The
manhole nickels and all that. No, they're spending money, folks. They're just not spending it wisely. Right. They're giving a bunch of bums big dough to come out here and play dead.
312-981-7200. Adam Hogue, in about 10 minutes.
I got to say something here again about, and I don't. But I've been around this league a long time, played it a long time, and I'm going to tell you what. I couldn't tell you how many number one draft choices have come and gone in this town alone, okay, that couldn't play dead. That's how bad they were. I'm going to tell you what I've seen. Mitch Trubisky has been here a long time, okay, since the spring, to develop to this kid where he is today. Now, it has come to our attention that certain areas he doesn't know or doesn't understand. That's why they don't go there. We also had in the 11th game a running back, Cohen, and our tight end, Sheehan, that cannot play in the last 2 minutes of a half or the 2 minutes of the game. You want to know why? This is after the 11th game. They said it. They don't know the plays. And Trubisky didn't know. That's why he can't go in certain areas. I have never heard of anything like this in my life in football, let alone the National Football League. We supposedly have college graduates, geniuses, smart kids that play the game, and for God's sakes, we have a coaching staff that can't communicate in the 11th game of the season to not more than one of our players on offense, and they don't know the damn plays? Are you kidding me? That's unbelievable, folks. It's happened right here in Chicago with this coaching staff. You want to talk a reason why to be fired? How can you let this staff stay here when we have players, and I'll say it again, that don't know the damn plays on offense? You got to be kidding me.
Right, so either you are drafting kids that can't play the game or you've got horrendous coaching. I go with the second part of it. It's horrendous coaching.
All right, well, let me tell you this.
It's awful what's going on here.
Okay, and think about this. In the second halves of games this year, everybody goes, oh, well, you go in at halftime, make what? What are they called?
Adjustments.
Right.
We never make them.
Okay, we've had the first drive in the second half this year in 15 games. One touchdown, one field goal, one interception, and 12 punts. I don't think we're doing real good on the adjustments. Do you?
No.
Let's take a quick timeout, Adam.
Folks, let me just, before that, what Dan said is the truth. What we've been telling you here, folks, there's a lot of knowledge, a lot of people played a long time in this room here. And I'm telling you, what we're seeing and what we're telling you, it is sometimes things are what they are.
312-981-7200. Adam Hogue from Soldier Field coming up next, 720 WGN. Adam Hogue coming up from Soldier Field. Bears did beat the Browns 20-3. Hope everyone's having a wonderful Christmas Eve, getting ready to spend some time with your family.
How about you, Mark? What are you going to do tonight? Going to go have dinner, right?
We're going to have a little dinner with the fam.
Try not to leave your keys in your car.
Right.
Thank you,
Hampo. Or leave it on.
Yeah. Well,
rules of thoughts here, okay? Don't leave your keys in your car.
Uh-huh.
And don't leave your keys in the car running.
Yeah, yeah.
Those are two little tidbits we'll give you tonight.
So Ricky Watts had a brand new Corvette. He was second round pick my rookie year.
Okay.
Anyway, he went to the movies, and he got out to go inside to see what time the movie started and locked his keys in the car, and it's running. So he goes back inside to call it, you know, a tow truck or whatever.
Right.
He comes out, and there's some broken glass.
Oh, no.
Car's gone.
That's
brutal. I think of you when I think of that stuff.
Yeah. I mean, Ricky actually had it together more than I did.
Yeah, because he had at least locked it, right?
Yeah.
You just left it running.
On Thanksgiving, yes.
Door open.
Right. Yeah, Thornton's in Highland Park.
Thinking, hey, I'll just go get myself a little cappuccino.
I wanted a nice
tea. Maybe I'll go in and use the restroom, and then you come out and boom.
I was doing the overnight show. I thought I would get some hot tea to soothe my throat, Kaz. Perhaps use the restroom. And it didn't turn out well for me. It's in the middle of a 22-day repair. I'll get it back January the 9th. All right.
It'll be fine.
It'll be great. I'm sure it'll be fine.
There'll be nothing wrong.
Tremendous smell.
Perfect.
Tremendous smell of
perfect
illicit materials in there and some other things that...
Where did I tell you to take the car?
Okay. You told me to take it to the Mueller family dealerships. I did not...
Instead, you took it to Nick's strip shop, and it's going to come back with one tire.
And you wonder why you're
with
not getting
three donut tires. Is what
year 2020?
Rear front or is right front tire? And three I got donuts.
Yeah. Listen,
don't be looking for airbags in it either.
I should have taken it to Mueller.
Don't let anybody run into you because the airbags won't go off.
I'm crossing my finger that Nick at the strip shop is going to do a good job. Hey, from Uno to Geno's and Malnati's too. Chicago's Best is filling you in on the scandalous history of deep dish pizza that Chicago's Best presents. It's a piece of the pie. And it's Sunday night at 10 on WGN-TV. Adam Hoge from Soldier Field next, 720 WGN.
This is the Chevy Hamp and OB Show with Kaz. Sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and ChevyDriveChicago.com on 720 WGN.
Bears 20, Browns 3, Adam Hoge. Our Bears reporter, the king of the world, read him at WGNRadio.com. He was out at Soldier Field for the final time this season. He joins us now on 720 WGN. Hampton will be with Kaz with you till 6 on 720 WGN. Adam, let's talk about the argument that we were having during the game on Twitter, and Dan Hampton and Ed Obradovich, and I guess Kaz has it, would like a clarification. But Prince Amukamara gets the fumble recovery in the end zone.
No, you guys were talking about
you,
it.
He gets the fumble recovery in the end zone, Hoagie. He's looking to make a play. He's going every which way, and then he gets tackled, yet that's not a safety. And then you sort of like distinctly yelled at me on Twitter, and I was offended, but I said we would talk about it on the air, so now let's do it. How am I wrong? Right. When did that rule change?
Merry Christmas, everybody, and it's a pretty simple rule that I'm surprised that you don't know, Carm, but when you recover, like, same thing with an interception. If you intercept a pass in the end zone, if you recover a fumble in the end zone, you do not have to run it out. If you down it right there in the end zone, it's a touchback.
Right.
So Prince tried to get it out. I thought it was a heads-up play, realized there wasn't really anything there after trying to reverse the field, and he just went down. So it's a touchback. It's not a safety.
Okay. As long as you don't go out of the end zone and then get knocked back into it.
Okay, and this rule has changed because back in the old days when I played, and I think maybe OB too, if you and Buddy Ryan, you say, hey, if you try to get that ball out, by God, you better get it out. And, you know, obviously the best thing is just go ahead and take a knee, give yourself up, get it on the 20. But if you get tackled trying to run it out back when it would be called a safety. Because when you possess it, it's just like you took a snap on offense. But they changed the rule, apparently. So I don't know when, but
yeah, what I think it is I think a lot of the defensive coaches would say, hey, don't even try to run it out because they don't want to leave it up to interpretation because it's not like the refs don't get rules wrong sometimes, right, right, Adam?
Yeah.
I mean, it works both ways.
There has to be there's some clarification in about that rule. He definitely tried to run that ball out. There's no question about it. And that shows intent. When you do that, as I am to understand it, and you get nailed or whatever, if you do a stupid thing, run out, whatever you do, because you showed intent. You can't run around and show intent and try, and it's not there, and they shut you off. You run to another one, shut you off. You finally run to the third place, you got shut off again. And then all of a sudden, oh, well, it's okay. I don't think so. And if it is, that's a really lousy rule.
Well, maybe they changed it. I because it's always been my understanding that you if he had run out of the end zone
and then come back in, right,
then that's a safety. So again, maybe the rule has changed. I mean, I trust you guys on that one. You guys played, I didn't. So, but at least recent memory, as long as you don't take it out, whether you try or not, it is right. It is just a touchback.
Okay. My bad. More importantly, can you tell us about the snowball fights that were going on in the 400 level, apparently, between Browns and Bears fans?
Well, by far, the best and most entertaining moment of the game. There was some poor Browns fan in the 400 level, sitting low 400 level, like maybe the 10th row, wearing either a Johnny Manziel jersey or a Tim Couch jersey, because the name was covered by his hood, so all you could see was the number 2. And this poor guy, I'm talking like 4 sections on either side of him, fans everywhere were just pelting this one Browns fan with snowballs. Now, it wasn't like... It was all in good nature. At least I could, from my view with the binoculars.
Unless you're the guy getting pummeled.
Right, but he was throwing them back, and he seemed to be having a good time. But then, like, I'm telling you, he took, like, 15 at one point in a matter of about 30 seconds, and he finally bailed. So, you know, he put up a better fight than his football team did today. I'll say that.
So, was Fox pumping his thumping his chest and just talking about improvements and how this is what a big win this was?
Well, you know, they are, I think, technically the AFC North champions, so you have to give them that.
Yes. Well, not technically, because they only beat them once. They didn't beat everybody twice.
Yeah. It would have been a lot different, I think, if they had to play them all again. You know, he did kind of... The one thing that he was kind of pumping up that I was like, all right, slow down there, was the fact, just how they're playing in this last quarter of the season, mentioning the win over the Bengals. I don't know how you could claim last week was good. It obviously wasn't. And then today you beat a terrible Browns team. I mean, they are all the things, like there was at one point what I thought was definitely going to be a holding call on the Bears just because it was a key moment, and that's what happens. They get some stupid offensive penalty to stall a drive, and instead it was on the Browns. So, I mean, they just managed to find a team that was worse than they are at all, making all those mistakes. So, you know, I'll give them credit, though. They took advantage of a team they should beat, and they did.
But I likened it to watching the fourth preseason game in the fourth quarter, right? You're watching two teams that you're going, there was nothing to get excited about.
Hey, Adam, let me ask you a question. Okay, so from all we read, gather, and hear, Mitchell Trubisky is the only thing that matters, the only future of the Chicago Bears. What are we doing running him at the goal line into the end zone to take a couple of headshots? And remember, it's the same Cleveland Brown bunch that broke Connor Shaw's leg in the preseason, okay? So what are we doing?
Good question. Mitch talked a little bit about that play afterwards. It's a run-pass option, so based on the coverage, he either throws it or tucks the ball and does what essentially was a QB draw. And, you know, I don't disagree with you. And I think that's important to kind of keep in mind today. There were other moments in this game that, like, when they're trying to run a screen, I forget who caught the ball, but it all depended on a Dontrell Inman block on the left side. I don't know if you guys remember that play. Inman has not shown any kind of ability to block since he was traded here right before the bye week, and yet they're running screens that depend on him blocking. I mean, isn't that why you have Josh Bellamy on the field, even though, you know, he really shouldn't be on the field? Isn't it because of the blocking? So why are you not running those plays to that side? So, you know, there were at least a handful of plays like that in this game where you're still kind of questioning the offensive philosophy, and I think it's fair, Hamp, to throw those quarterback draws. I mean, Mitch took way too many hits today, whether they were because the offensive line, bad protection, or just design runs or whatever. Too many hits, and you don't want to see that.
Absolutely. And, you know, if going down that same venue, Josh Bellamy is playing over 75% of the time, whereas Tariq Cohen and Wheaton, other players, Wheaton didn't even get on the field today, and he's making $6 million. I mean, what the hell is going on here?
Well, the Cohen thing still drives me crazy. Like, they're getting a 2-minute drill before halftime, and you don't have Howard or Cohen in your 2-minute package. And look, we've been talking about it all season. They're just being really, really stubborn with that. They're not going to change it. So you just got to live with it, I guess. But it doesn't make any sense. And they stall out. The Browns end up getting the ball and a field goal right before the half. So, you know, but Benny Cunningham's in there because he can block. I thought Jordan Howard actually today had a couple of nice blitz pickups. But apparently he's not good enough to be out there either, even though he could be going to the Pro Bowl again.
What did you think of Trubisky today? On the broadcast, they were almost hailing him as Joe Montana. In the Hampo B and Kaz room, we're sitting there pointing out that he's missing wide-open wide receivers and his footwork wasn't great again. What did you think, Adam?
Tale of two halves for me. I thought in the first half there were definitely a couple throws where he missed high, spotty footwork again. But I thought in the second half, he stood in there a few times against a blitz right in his face and delivered some strikes, including one to Inman late in the game that he dropped. So, you know, a typical kind of Mitch Trubisky performance this year where you see the promise, you also see some mechanical issues and some missed throws here and there. But overall, I mean, definitely better than last week against the Lions when he had three interceptions. So I'd say more good than bad again, which is, for me, kind of the theme of the season. Hasn't been perfect, but overall more good than bad.
Well, but again, he's playing against the 0-15 Cleveland Browns. But having said that, it's the same. It's the that's the scouting report on him. Inconsistent.
And let's not forget about the pick six that came back.
Yeah, I mean, that was the biggest play in the game. Call it what it is, but, you know, guy lines up offsides. That's just stupid. You shouldn't, you know, that should be football 101.
That goes back to, like, that's something that would happen to the Bears, but it happened to the Browns because they're worse.
They stink worse.
Any highlights of the postgame locker room before you go, Hoagie?
How about this? Kyle Fuller, I don't think he's been as good overall as a lot of people made it out to be. I don't think he's a Pro Bowler like some have suggested. He's been too up and down. You know, last week against the Lions was a bad game, but bounced back today. He's had a lot of good games too, and today was a pretty good game. I talked to him a little bit about, you talk about as a corner running the route for a wide receiver. You couldn't have done it any better than he did on they tried to double move with Josh Gordon, who, by the way, looked like he just didn't want to be out there today. He's getting a second chance at football, and he's just kind of jogging around the whole time. But Kyle Fuller did not bite on the Deshaun Kizer pump fake, ran the route perfectly for the wide receiver and was in a perfect spot to catch what was a terrible pass. Deshaun Kizer, guys, is just not good. I compared him to Jay Cutler before the draft. I apologize. That's an insult to Jay Cutler.
Yes. He's bad. He is awful, isn't he?
Yes, he is.
We got one more week, Hogue, but so we can do this again. But your sense going to the last week, this is the final week of John Fox and Ryan Pace is going to be here?
Yep. We can debate whether that's what should happen, but I'd be shocked if it's any other way. Fox is definitely gone. I do not think Pace is going anywhere. I just don't see it happening. So we're starting to get to that coaching season again. Once again, third time in, what, 6 years now, 7 years? We're going all through it again through January.
Yeah.
I'll tell you one thing quickly here. You look at 3 years of what Pace has done. It's the positives, excuse me, the negatives outweigh the positives. What, 5-1, 6-1? What this guy has done is what Fox has done. Nothing. This guy has given away millions and millions of dollars, guaranteed money, and we got players, some of them can't even play dead on this team. It's an absolute joke. You bring Wheaton in here, $11 million, 2-year contract, guarantee $6 million of it, and last week he caught his third pass, and he was available today and never gets on the field. What the hell is Pace doing? And I'm serious about this, Adam. This guy has done a pathetic job, and for some reason, the press in this town, they love this guy. They think he's great. I think he's horrible. He's got one mistake after another, and not only that, very expensive mistakes to the Bears organization.
Well, there's that Mike Glennon contract, too, which, that's the one that's really indefensible. You know, I will say, because, he gets a lot of credit for the drafting. It's definitely been better than what Phil Emery did. Let me just say, though, going forward, need to see more Pro Bowls out of these players. I mean,
how about one? One. Give us one.
Jordan Howard has one, and that's it. There's nothing else.
But he wasn't an original ballot player. He was on.
He was brought in because of the injury.
Right. Yeah, and now they do it before the Super Bowl, so nobody in the Super Bowl wants to do it. So, you bring up the scrubs. All right, come on.
Yeah.
Somebody that makes the first list.
Well, and I'm even just, like, talking about the first rounders. Like, they're going to have another high draft pick here. How about a guy that comes in from day one that just looks like a stud? You know, none of this, oh, he's got to develop because he, you know, his body's too thin, like Leonard Floyd, and he needs a year to under his belt. And, okay, with the quarterback, I get it. No quarterback's going to come in and be great right away. You need some development time. But you got to, whoever it is, has to be a guy that comes in. And how about a Pro Bowl right away?
Unless you're Deshaun Watson.
Unless you're Deshaun Watson.
Then you come in and are great. Yeah. But that's the only guy right now.
Fair enough.
Adam, great stuff. Merry Christmas, man. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, Merry Christmas, guys. One more to go.
You got it, Adam.
Adam Hogue, read his coverage or your life will not be the same. WGNRadio.com doing a great job all season long. He does.
Why don't we get him next week to ask Trubisky if he throws some interceptions? Can he start throwing them high and behind the defenders?
Yeah, so they're not picked off.
Yeah. I just want to know, because I mean, how many times we've seen it, and it's getting worse, OB.
Why isn't this pointed out from week to week?
I don't know.
He constantly throws the ball behind the receivers.
And high.
And when he goes to the 12, 15-yard out, that ball, since the day he's been there now, today, it sails on him. And where is this magical escapability he's had?
Haven't seen
my
it.
Point is he's played 11, started 11 games. Have our listeners out there, have you seen the improvement? Why haven't these coaches, we have quarterback coaches, offensive coordinator, head coach, why haven't we moved this kid forward? Why isn't he better? We started out game 4 or 5, whatever it was he started, and guess what it is today?
It's worse.
One game to go, absolutely no improvement, and he might have, Glenn, even gotten worse.
I think he has. And think about the throws and the plays that they asked him to perform today. It's nothing. I'm just telling you. Yeah, it. You know, I 3 weeks ago, I had higher hopes. Unfortunately, here on Christmas Eve, things are not as cheery as we.
Well, I'm telling you, just quickly here. I don't know what all this is about. Every week, it's like, well, he's getting better. He's greater. Holy cow.
It's
awful. I mean, my God, when does reality set in around here? God, until it does, this is. Hey, he's not getting the job done, folks.
Here's some reality, too. If you are on hold and you stay on hold, we'll get to you on the air. I promise. Appreciate people hanging through our talk with Adam. We'll get you on the way back here.
And a great topic of the top of the next hour. We're going to go over a list. We got a list. We're checking it twice for the new coach that will be coming in.
All right, 720 WGN. Thanks to our good friends at Mr. Submarine. Good food and a tasty price. Mr. Submarine, get that sub pack with delicious meat, cheese, veggies on fresh-baked Toronto bread. Visit MrSubmarine.com. It's 312-981-7200. Hamp and OB with Kaz, presented by Chevy, DriveChicago.com. Bears did beat the Browns 20-3. The Bears now 5-10, one game to go on the road against the Minnesota Vikings, who've got a shot at perhaps playing the Super Bowl at home. Minnesota hosting the Super Bowl this year, which is certainly a rarity, but they have the dome up there, so they'll have the Super Bowl. Maybe the Vikings will be there. Although,
can you imagine if they pull that off?
I think it'd be great. I hope it does, actually, even though that's probably sacrilegious to say.
Well, but we've done our part.
You know, we have.
We're sending them up a horrible team for their finale to tune up for the playoffs.
There's no doubt. Hey, Bill's been on hold for an hour, so let's get him in here real quick. Bill, what's up, man? Welcome to WGN. Thanks for being patient.
Thanks so much, because Dan said a thing very early in the show which really caught my attention, and I wanted to call in and get you work in this, so you guys are all experts at the football and the media. I love you guys. It's the only show that tells the truth. I read the papers. Last week on the NFL Network, the Bears were on there. It was embarrassing. Foxy is really building confidence in these players. They support him. You know, his future may be a little questionable, but it's looking good here. He's building something. And it was all through the game. And I read the local things, and they use all these couch words. So thank God you guys are on, telling it like it is. But how does it get better if the media won't support and won't demand these things? They just, are they so thrilled to be covering these guys and getting to get in the locker room with the sports guys that they just sell out? I mean, why is this?
Bill, appreciate the call. I think you're giving us a little bit too much power, but let's see what do y'all think?
Okay, let me, and this has been one of my pet peeves for a long time. You know, David Stern changed everything. When the NBA was about to go under, he basically started saying, oh, the greatest athletes in the world. Oh, you got to be here. You got to watch it. And so then now here we got to watch it. And the media, and again, nobody wants to watch a tub of garbage. For us to say it's a tub of garbage is almost we're killing our product. We are hurting. But honesty is our only policy. So we're telling the truth, OB. But unfortunately, at what cost? At what? See, a lot of these beat writers, they're going to go in Hallis Hall every day. And if they tell the truth, or they start, you know, laying everyone bare, then the next thing you know, they're going to get the cold shoulder. They won't get the first slice of pizza. The next thing you know, they're going to be, the newspaper's going to be told, you know, since somebody knew, we don't need this guy on the beat. So it's about CYA. And guess what? Nobody tells the truth anymore.
There's a lot of power that teams have over reporters nowadays. It's
well,
just true.
You know, you don't even get access to players or coaches if they want to shut you down. They can shut you down, and you don't get to anybody.
So it's a skill in being balanced to what you're getting at there, Bill. 312-981-7200. We'll get to more of your calls coming up here in the 5 o'clock hour. Hamp's got the coaching search. We may actually hear from the coach of the Bears, John Fox.
We got the callers out there.
Yeah, that too, OB, absolutely.
Yeah, you guys hang in there. I promise we'll get to you.
Yep.
If not, we'll strangle Mark.
Great plan. Love it.
It's a solid plan, Mark.
All right. This is Chicago's very own 720 WGN Chicago, WGNradio.com.
Flag comes in. Ball is deflected and intercepted by Myles Garrett. And Garrett bouncing his way inside the 20-yard line. And he rumbles through the five and into the end zone. But there was a flag, as we mentioned.
And I think they were lined up offside with the Browns. I think it's going to come back.
Defense number 94. 5-yard penalty. First down.
One hour to go. Merry, merry Christmas to one and all. Hope you're having a great holiday season.
I'm just worried about you, Mark. I want to make sure you make it up to your house. You don't leave your car running.
I am going
and
back.
And you take care of things, okay?
I'm legit going back to the scene of the crime.
I know you are. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. So be careful. That's all. I want you to be smart tonight.
We're going to have a little
this time, leave your credit cards on the seat.
Yes. But if you're going to do it, leave your wallet in there, too. So just do the trifecta. Just go all in if you're going to go in.
Let me we shouldn't talk about this because it's the middle of the Bear game, but I just want to see what you guys would have done. I went on vacation this past week on Monday, right? So we're going off to Mexico. It's me and my girlfriend. We're at the airport. We get there 2 hours before a 5:30 flight. Okay, it's 3:30 in the morning. The line does not move because there is a incident going on where somebody's got a passport problem, and like for whatever reason, the whole thing stops
at that hour.
Yeah, at that hour, we get up there. It's 4:35. Flight's not till 5:20. They would not check the bags through because it's international and there's an hour window. Now, obviously, they could have gotten down there. I'm having the conversation. I'm saying, hey, I'll bring the bags down myself. We're not missing this flight. This is my one vacation a year. They bumped us to the 9 o'clock, so we're sitting in the airport for 4 hours. Now, if OB, Hamp, or Kaz were there and that was going on, of course, you probably would have had a special situation. Wouldn't have been in that line, but like I needed to channel my 99, my 87, my 88. Something needed to happen, but they bumped us back to another flight. What would you have done, Hampo?
My wife tells me never to go to the airport again. I had one of these incidents.
You lose it. I'm the same way. I lose it.
Little Dan is embarrassed of me for what I did. I'm just telling you, the whole thing is insane.
Well, you see, you guys, what you have to do as you go through life, you got to understand these situations. And
shoot
sometimes
for the stars.
In life, there's going to be some things that are not going to go your way, and you got to be under control, follow me, follow my guide, under control, understand the situation, and you'll be a lot better off for it, gentlemen.
Well, I went down to that gate. I'm sure you are the most calm person ever in that situation, OB. Now let's get back on track here. Drive of the game. I went all the way to the gate. I begged and pleaded. The woman at the gate was actually really trying to help me, but the counter was a trouble spot. Drive of the game is sponsored by the Patrick Dealer Group. And Kazi, you got a drive of the game for us?
Yes, I do. It followed right after the play of the game. And that was after the interception happened. And yep. Cleveland, being the Cleveland Browns, their player lined up offsides. We had a third down, I think third and like 13, and they ran a screen play to Cunningham. And he took it up the sideline for about 40 yards. And then they ran another screen, and that was the drive of the game. After a 14-point swing, and it looked like they were going to be down, they flipped the script and went up 7-10 points.
They actually looked like they knew exactly what they
actually
were doing.
13, what was it, 13-3 at 13-3, that point. 13-3, yeah. So they went up 10.
Game was over.
But John Fox was so brave on that fourth and inches.
He was.
After he challenged the spot, lost it. Well, I mean, technically, I guess he didn't lose it because they did move the ball up a little bit. But then he gutted it out and went for it on fourth and inches.
In defense of John Fox in that particular situation, on all his challenges.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, there's about 17 or 18 coaches on this team.
Right.
And they're upstairs in the box. They should be everywhere. We've got a ton of them. And somebody, I'd like to find out who the absolute imbecile is that keeps calling down the Fox and telling him
It's a good question.
When it's so obvious the call was the right call.
Seriously,
I'd like to find out the guy's name. Who is the moron up there that keeps calling down and giving Fox the info, and then Fox throws that red flag out like he knows what the hell he's doing? This is so damn laughable, folks. You can't believe it.
No, yeah, really, this whole thing is sad. It is. It's sad. And I'm starting to think the pet monkey's up there in the
That was the highlight of the week.
They thought he died. He didn't die. He's up in the press box.
He's making the call. No. And that's why Fox always looks so dumb.
No, hey, Glenn, hold
it. He's in his headphones going.
I don't understand what he said to me.
They faked his death, the monkey, and he's been here for the last 3 years, up in the box.
That's the most incredible story ever that came out, where John Fox was sitting down with Bears TV this week, if people missed the story, and he talked about, as a kid, he had a pet monkey, which you can't have anymore, but the Fox family did back in the day, and then they had the pet monkey around for about 3 years, and then for whatever reason, somebody in the Fox family didn't take care of the monkey, tied him to a tree or something, and killed the monkey. But you're saying the monkey still be alive.
He's still alive. I'm telling you, that monkey is and he's
in the press
a paycheck
box
too,
and he's making money. And the worst part is that's why Fox doesn't know how to work the headset, because he doesn't understand what the monkey's saying to him.
And this town, the last 3 days, they're not talking about the Browns, about the Bears play and how they're getting ready. They're talking about his monkey. How bad does it get in Chicago?
See, I thought it just got good, OB. The monkey thing was interesting. Like,
he didn't die. I'm telling you, he's up in the box.
He's making the call.
He's jumping around up there.
Throw the flag.
That's why he's quote-unquote monkeying with the headset, because he can't quite understand. All right.
He pulls out his little red flag and says, got a red flag, got a red flag, got a red flag.
Anything's possible at this point. Hey, Daryl, welcome to WGN. Thanks for being patient. You want to talk about the ownership? Go ahead.
Yeah, real quick, guys. Thank you for your commitment to the fans, for working on Christmas Eve and every week showing and expressing the voice of many of the Bear fans. Real quick, just a statement and a question. In business, you're either getting better or worse, but complacency is the death of any business. And Dan was saying earlier, it's hard for the organization to hear honesty. I'm a restaurant consultant, and one of my accounts, I received feedback from the customer about things not being great or good from their customers. But when I brought it to the owner, this owner really said, don't tell me these things. This is my family business, and I don't want to hear anything negative or bad. The Blackhawks had Bill Wirtz until Rocky took over and made changes. But he still waited till Bill Wirtz passed away. And they went from last to three times champions. The Cubs had the tribute to the Ricketts. They were the lovable losers, which the Ricketts have stated that they hate more than anything being called. And they changed that mentality. Both of those organizations over time spent money, bad money, just like the Bears have with the with Glennon. Both had loyal fans. My question is, our organization, are we just checking the box to say that they're committed, or are we really going to watch our hopes and our commitment just get wasted? Are we the Cleveland Browns, or do we see us changing like the Cubs and the Blackhawks?
Not until Virginia McCaskey, and again, God love her, she's 95 years old, and not until she passes on, you will not see a change in ownership in this team. Now, I mean...
Could they change it,
Could it be changed before that or whatever? Yes, it could. But I'll tell you what, if the Bears come up, Daryl, with another stupid general manager and a stupid head coach, because you want to know what? That's what they are. They're stupid. They're people. They can't communicate to their players, whatever it is they're trying to get through to them. There's no communication. They're bad coaches. And I'm going to tell you something. They clean house, and they bring another crew in here. And if Pace brings another crew in, and we see the same things again, the Bears will probably be forced to sell this franchise. Because I'll tell you what, it's got to stop. Listen. We've had two world champions in this town since 1946. What is that, 74 years, or 75, whatever it's been? And the Bears are the footing and foundation of this league. Hallis put his life on the line to make it survive. And this is what happens. This is what we look at. Two times in almost 75 years. We haven't won a damn thing since Dan Hampton and that great 85 team. My Lord, when is it enough enough? Can't they at Hallis Hall figure out the way they're going, the road they're on, the avenue they're on, or their thinking is flawed? When the hell is it going to come to an end?
Here's the only
reality.
Way.
Have reality set in.
The only way it will happen, Ed, is that you have to change GM. You have to change the coaching staff. You really need to have...
There's got to be some changes.
Your president has to be a football guy, or at least a guy that can say, okay, I'm going to bring in the best.
Bingo.
And I'm going to get out of the way, and you handle it. You don't rely on somebody else to give you the information to hire your GM. You do it yourself, and you surround yourself with smart people. And that's how they've got to fix it. Now, can they do it? I don't know. They haven't been able to for a while. So, I know. But that's the rule of thumb. That's how you do it.
Absolutely, Glenn. I'm just saying again. And you talk about the fan base. You could talk about the San Diego Chargers, Miami Dolphins, Kansas City Chiefs. I don't give a damn. The greatest fans are right here. They support this team, supported the Blackhawks for years when they couldn't. If the game was fixed, they couldn't win it. The Cubs, 108 years or whatever the hell it was, 110 before they won. But the Chicago Bears have always been the footing and foundation of sports in this town. And boy, what's gone on since 1985. I would love to hear the next coach or the next general manager or somebody in that front office say a few words, and a few words of this. We're putting a team together to win the Super Bowl.
That's it. That's all they need to say. And I think you and I and Dan and every Chicago Bear fan would cheer just to hear, even if they don't
those
do
words.
It, if they just say their first interview, look, I'm here to win a Super Bowl for Chicago. We'd all go, hallelujah, let's go.
For God's sakes, folks, you go up to New England, that's all they talk about. Belichick, Brady, Super Bowl, Super Bowl. Just go up north to Green Bay. You know what? They don't talk about, well, we're looking for a winning season while we're trying to straighten that out. Out of Aaron Rodgers' mouth every year, they're there to win the Super Bowl. When the hell is somebody in Hallis Hall going to figure that out? Get somebody in here that can actually say those words and do something about it. And there are people out there. There are people out there. In other words, twice in almost 75 years, that, to say the least, is not acceptable to one of the greatest, if not the greatest, franchise in the NFL. It's awful what's going on here.
David Haw had a great piece in the Tribune today, kind of surmising what is George McCaskey, or guessing at what George McCaskey will do in the offseason. And he pointed out, since George became the chairman and is in control of the franchise, the Bears now, if you include today, 111 games, they're 45-66. 45-66. And, you know, they fired a Lovie Smith, who was 10-6, brought in...
That was their best coach.
Right. And that's also saying something. But, you know, you fired Lovie, bring in Tressman. Tressman was considered a complete and utter disaster. And then you bring in Fox, and now they're... It's worse.
I know why they fired Lovie Smith, okay? And I think it's a great guess on my part. They didn't think he could get him over the top. Let me say it again.
He got him to the Super Bowl, but they didn't finish.
But he couldn't get him over the top. And there have been other firings in the National Football League that have gone that way. They get him there, and guess what? They eventually get fired.
John Fox got fired in Denver for that reason. He, you know, they got blown up by Seattle in the Super Bowl. Next year, right, Dan? He's
that's
gone.
Exactly.
He's gone.
Fact.
He was gone. Right.
Because he wouldn't
he was
get him over
go.
The top.
It was unacceptable. John Elway basically went to him and said, I think it was week 15, they got beat by Jacksonville or some nobody. And he basically told John Fox, after he went into the locker room and, you know, screamed and threw chairs around, on the way out, he said, don't make me have to do this again. This is your job. Don't make me do it again. It'll be the last thing you ever do here. And that's what happened. They go into the Super Bowl and get decimated by, what was it, Seattle.
Yeah. Yep.
Crushed.
That's why those guys get fired, and that's why Lovie got fired.
312-981-7200. Here's one line from the Haw piece today. The organization, this is exactly what you guys are talking about, the organization has a scarcity of football intellect and should shift...
None.
And should shift Phillips, a trained accountant, into a business-only role to make room for an executive with enough NFL experience and acumen to complement the general manager.
That's absolutely spot on.
Right.
I mean, it's right in front of you. And now we hear today what it was a rumor is that Ted Phillips is heading up a search for a new head coach already. Oh, my God.
Okay, and on so many levels, that's horrendous. That's Ryan Pace's job.
Right.
Job one.
Well, and suppose...
That wasn't a rumor, though. Not Pace. It was him.
It's Pace's search. It's his hire. Phillips is going to be the accountant and
I got
deal
it.
With the money.
But my point is, for them to even allow that to be leaked
out,
or
right.
to feed it to somebody, because it's ludicrous on at face value, it's so dysfunctional in so many ways. It's so bare, so typical Bears.
Right. 312-981-7200. We'll maybe hear from John Fox, perhaps hear from Mitchell Trubisky, also hear from you. 312-981-7200.
Please, not Trubisky.
Not Trubisky?
I can tell you what he's going to say right now. No,
is he getting better,
don't.
OB?
No, he's
is
not.
A team, is he going to be a leader?
Oh, yeah. Okay. All right. Yes, I know. The team is going to be real good. They're believing me. I control the huddle. And believe me, we're going to get better. Under Fox's tutelage here, we're going to move on. Okay, next week. Okay, Mitchell Trubisky. Yes, I'm the team leader. I'm in the huddle. I have control of the huddle. And yes, we're going to win because we have Trubisky. I mean, we have Fox. We have everybody. Okay, the next week. Hi. I'm Mitchell Trubisky. I'm the quarterback. I'm in control. My Lord.
It's exhausting. I completely agree.
But his footwork and his fundamentals get worse each week as he's saying the same thing over and over again. That's the more frustrating part.
Get better
then. Don't tell us you're going to be better. Get better. Show us you're getting better.
I'm not expecting him to say anything negative about any of the coaches. He shouldn't do that. However, one interesting comment about something he saw on the field once would be, that'd be amazing.
It's the same thing every week.
Yes, it's brutal.
We're going to get better. We're going to be a better football team the next week.
Right.
We're going to be a better football team. I'm in control of the huddle, and we're going to... Oh, Jesus.
OB, it's Christmas Eve.
Can't we just believe?
Yeah.
Let's just believe one
humbug.
Night. Let's just believe one night that it's going to get better. That Mitch is right.
Hey, play ball, celebrate the Cubs with team memorabilia, exclusive books, and so much more. Visit ChicagoTribuneStore.com today. With you till 6, 720 WGN. Bears Post continuing here. Hamp and OB with Kaz, presented by ChevyDriveChicago.com. We will go into our special Christmas programming at 6.
Dilly dilly!
Dilly dilly.
Dilly dilly.
Indeed. And let's see here. We're back with live programming. Oh, I think it.
Big Ed wants to know what Dilly Dilly is. It's a Budweiser
it's
commercial.
Holiday,
remember
toast.
Dilly Dilly, Dilly Dilly.
I believe it.
It's about alcohol.
Yeah, I know. Dan Hampton's out of control.
Well, I don't drink alcohol.
I know that.
We know you don't for sure.
Yeah,
I guzzle it.
Hey, Ann.
You have to watch John Fox coach. It helps.
You take that Brexit with a fire hose.
Bucket.
Oh, that's right. I forgot all about that.
Yeah.
What's on the docket tonight there, OB? Before
champagne
we
of beer tonight? Or
my wife and one of our dearest friends, he died. This was his lady friend for years and years, and the three of us are going out for a nice dinner tonight.
Okay. That's
be very thankful. And thankful.
There you go. There you go. All right. News coming up here. Let's sneak in. Hamp, you wanted to talk coaching search. We'll do that after 5:30.
Yes.
Real quick, let's get some people in here. Wayne, you want to talk free agents? What do you got there, Wayno?
Hey, how's it going, my guys? Oh, always the best to you guys. God bless you, and happy holidays to all you guys, Hamp, OB. Hey, one thing before I get with the free agents, I know you guys had your training camp in Rensselaer at St. Joe College. Did you guys know that the college closed down? They closed St. Joe College, but anyway. Yeah,
I heard that. This year, right? Or was it 2 years ago?
Yeah, just last year. This is the first year that they didn't have students there this year. That's a shame. That's such a shame. I met Big Doug and Mike Hartenstein here. I got my picture took with him when I was like just about 3 feet tall back in the old days. But yeah, and God bless all you guys. Anyway, I want to know, above all, I hope to heck we can find a way to get Vic Fangio back, and thank God for him to getting the defense back with respectable again. But what do you think the free agents are we should keep that are on our team right now? Who do you think we should make a play for and make sure we get them back on our team, guys?
All right, Wayne, appreciate you.
Well, I know that Dan and Ed talked a little bit about it. I personally think you have to bring back Fuller. Because you got to have a cover corner, and he's the only one on your roster right now that is a legit cover corner.
Yeah, but there's a big if there, Glenn, and the big if, and Wayne, the big if is this. His agent is going to take him out in a free agency.
Right.
And if somebody values the way Glenn values him, I'll tell you what, they will make a hell of an offer because they throw money around in the National Football League like you can't believe. So, and if the Bears want to keep him, I believe the rule is that they have to match the offer or sweeten it. And I don't know if the Bears would do that.
I think they could franchise
him. But that's what's going to happen. He will go to free agency, and we'll see where the hell it goes from there.
Here, let me read you the free agents that they have. Prince Amukamara, Zach Miller, who's obviously his career is over. But
just walking is an exciting thing right now for him.
Absolutely.
You know, so.
Kyle Fuller, Mark Sanchez, Kendall Wright.
Oh, we got to get Mark Sanchez, right, guys?
Yeah. We got to get the butt fumbler back. But Kendall Wright's a guy they should consider. He's been their best receiver, arguably.
Which is frightening,
100%. Tom Compton, Christian Jones, Sherrick McManus, Mitch Unrein, Mike Nugent, their new kicker, Lamar Houston, Sam Acho, Benny Cunningham, John Jenkins, Josh Bellamy, Bradley Sowell, Chris Brzezinski, Cairo Santos, Pat O'Donnell. I mean, there's not anyone in that list where literally nobody would lose.
The only guy that, like I said, you've got to keep one of your corners that doesn't, because I don't believe they can identify other corners, unfortunately.
Well, they got to go out in free agency too and find people to bring him in here, supposedly to fill a void, and we have a lot of voids around here.
Right.
So are they going to give Fuller all the money and take the money away from where we should be going out and getting free agents to help her? This situation, we are in such dire straits, folks. You can't believe it. Just believe us when we tell you. This coaching, this scouting situation, this general manager we have, they're absolutely not up to par. They do not fit the bill, and changes have to be made.
Hample with some thoughts on the coaching search coming up here. Let's get a quick timeout, get you into news, and we'll give you the final half hour of Hample and OB with Kaz on the second-to-last game of the year, 720 WGN.
Back to the Chevy Hample and OB Show with Kaz, sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and ChevyDriveChicago.com on 720 WGN.
WGN. We're wrapping up the Hampton OB with Kaz Experience, presented by ChevyDriveChicago.com, with you till 6. Then we go into our Christmas programming. Hopefully for Christmas slash New Year's, the Bears will have a new stud head coach helping lead the charge into 2018. Hample, you wanted to talk about this, so I'm interested. Your thoughts on
what? Well, if, to the best guess of some of the folks that have been on the scene, there's three offensive coordinators. One of them, Josh McDaniels, I think, has already kind of wink-wink agreed to take the New York Giant job.
Right.
The other two, Matt Nagy of the Chiefs and Pat Shurmur of the Minnesota Vikings. Shurmur's a very interesting name because, you know, he's grown up in the league. I just think if you look at the Vikings, they shouldn't be this good. But they are. Why? Something's going on. This kid, Case Keenum, has kind of put it together. That's what you have to look for. Someone that is able to touch a player and make him play vastly better than what anybody expected, or even maybe they don't, the player thinks. But Pat Shurmur is a name we're going to hear an awful lot more of. But two other names, Dave Tobe, the special teams coach in Kansas City, I have heard, is going to be the guy in Cleveland. We'll find out. He's been there before. They have a great appreciation for Dave Tobe. You know, I think Dave Tobe is a wonderful a player coach, but he's not a fool. You know, some of these coaches, they get played by the players. Dave Tobe isn't that kind of guy.
I think he'd be a good head coach, but I don't think he would. You know, I think he'd go to Cleveland before he comes here, Dan. But go on with the list.
And the last name is Dave Filippo. He's the quarterback coach. Now, quarterback coach, straight to head coach, that's a big step, big jump. He's done, obviously, a great job with Carson Wentz in Philadelphia. But now look at Nick Foles, threw four touchdowns last week. I mean, nobody expected that. So, you know, again, what's the most important ingredient of a football team is a great relationship with a coach and the quarterback. Obviously, we're looking for someone that can do it.
I'll narrow mine down. Pat Shurmur.
Well, Pat Shurmur's an interesting name. He's been around a while, too,
and he's been a head coach before.
He started at Michigan State.
Right.
He's done a hell of a job. As an assistant coach, I'm talking about.
He's paid his dues, too, though.
Yes, he has. I think he's prime, ready to go.
Offensive coordinator now for the Vikings. He was, for a brief second, he was an interim head coach with the Eagles when they fired Chip Kelly. He was a head coach of the Browns. He's been the offensive coordinator in Philly. He was an offensive coordinator for the St. Louis Rams as well for a couple of years.
Here's something that you know, will shock you. He basically said, hey, Adrian Peterson, you've been great. See you later. You know what I'm saying?
That takes a lot.
Yeah, it takes some stones. Yeah. And you got to make hard decisions. Well, he's shown that he's done it.
And to that point, too, as far as Adrian goes, I mean, one of the greatest running backs in history of the game, AD all day, and had some problems off the field. But regardless of all that,
Can I put this in and interject this?
Sure. What do you got over
here? Do you think all the prospective people we talked about, all the head coaching jobs are going to be open. You think some kid that they go out the Bears offer, you think they might be a little skeptical about taking care of the head job here at Chicago, and they full know what the hell's going on here. Believe me, they do. So I think that's a point that has to be made also.
Yeah, it's probably going to have to be an older guy that's been in the league and has the confidence also to step into this kind of a mess.
Yeah. Right.
Because there's a certain level of disaster that you've got to step into knowing full well that if you don't bring your A game, and you still might get your hands tied.
And what moves can you make as a head coach?
Right.
And I'll guarantee you, to our listeners out there, you think that these young coaches are soon to be head coaches, you don't think they're thinking about that coming in here to Chicago? I'll guarantee you they do.
Well, that's why guys like Josh McDaniels are not coming here because they're going to have multiple offers.
Sure, he's going to come from New England to the Chicago Bears. He might as well jump off the bridge.
Well, that's why I do.
The guy I think that's interesting is the quarterback coach in Philadelphia, a young guy.
Filippo.
Yeah, there's a young guy that could, you know, what's happening now, a lot of these young coaches are proven this year. This is a year of the young OCs that went on to become really good head coaches in a short period of time.
Got to be some big changes, guys.
Yeah.
Got to bring some young talent in here. And if you're the new head coach, you come in here. Folks, we have to give position coaches the people. What's the number one job for them? Communication. They've got to be able to deliver the philosophy that they have. They've got to get in with the kids, sit down, talk to them. They have to communicate. They have to get their points across as well as coaching them and what to do. They got to communicate with them. Why? Offensive coordinator, he very seldom sees any but the quarterbacks and a couple of receivers. Defensive coordinator, he talks to the linebackers who call the signals. Okay? Who the hell do you spend 98% of the time with? Your position coaches. So that's what's so important to a new regime coming in here. Let's get the guys that can communicate to these young players today and get it out of them.
So we don't have to wait 13 weeks for the young kids to say that they're comfortable in the two-minute drill.
For the record, if you're just joining the show and you didn't watch the game today, the Bears did beat the Browns 20-3. They're 5-10. Cleveland's 0-15. One game to go. Minnesota next week. Mitchell Trubisky, 14-23, 193 yards. Quarterback rating of 87.8. He was sacked five times, which makes his net yardage go all the way down to 161.
All right, here's a little nugget for you. Kyle Shanahan. Wouldn't it be great to get him?
I like Kyle Shanahan.
Well, guess what? With Jimmy Garoppolo, they're now killing the Jacksonville Jaguars' number one ranked defense, 38-16.
How awesome is that? Yeah. I mean, this is a San Francisco team that we thought was the worst team in the NFC.
You want to know what's worse than that, Glenn? Where the hell do you think that kid grew up? Arlington Heights.
Right. And
he went to Rolly Meadows High School. Where did he go to college? Eastern Illinois University.
Three really
and the
good
last time I checked, Eastern Illinois University is in the state of Illinois, about a three-hour-plus ride from here. And nobody from this organization could go down to Eastern Illinois and see if Tony Romo, if they could get a hold of him, signs with Dallas as a free agent. Tony Garofalo. I'm not making this stuff up, folks.
Jimmy Garoppolo today is 21-29, 242 yards, a couple of touchdowns, and an interception. Quarterback rating of 106. The 49ers, that's actually, if you're looking at draft position, it's a big win for them today for the Bears, because now they're both 5-10, and San Francisco is going to draft higher than the Bears.
When he started for the 49ers, what did they win? One game?
One game against the Giants.
And they came into Soldier Field and kicked our ass.
with
a quarterback. Our quarterback had more starts than Jimmy Garoppolo did.
He
in his career, right?
Yes.
Yep.
Garoppolo is going to be, he's 4-0. He's 4-0. I mean, he beat the Bears, he beat the Texans, he beat Tennessee.
That was no first-time starter for a team, I think, has ever done it. Something crazy.
Well, and to make it worse, too, we talk about San Francisco, half of their team was not even in the NFL at the start of the season. So half of those guys out there playing with them are guys that aren't going to be on the roster next year.
They got two receivers off the street.
Big Ben, you know what you got to look at? They got rid of everybody over there, and they brought in John Lynch, who played a strong safety in the National Football League and played it as good as anybody could play that position. Been in football a little bit, as color announcer and whatever have you. What do they do out in San Francisco? They hire him. Look where they're at. Look who we hired after 3 years. It's what have we won? How many? We've lost, 33 games and... I mean, lost 33.
We're 14-33.
Like that.
14-33.
All right, with our genius pace.
Mm-hmm. And by the way, speaking of your genius pace, who was the general manager that had been on the job about 12 minutes when he clowned our general manager out of about five, fleeced us out of five picks?
John Lynch was his name.
John Lynch. He took him right down the garden path.
GM of the year on that 12-minute conversation.
And now, you know how long he had the job? What is it?
For the record, it's
12 minutes.
Five minutes?
Yeah. 12.
And he took our guy, Payson, rode him right down. Here's, pal. Here's your boat. Oh, excuse me. I forgot the. There's no paddles.
Yeah.
For the record, it was only three picks. It wasn't five. It was only three.
Oh, is that all?
Oh, right. That's all?
Yeah, and the flip.
And swapped.
Right.
Okay, so that's actually four.
Right, it really is four.
You know, just going back, you think of these guys played right here.
It's unbelievable.
You mean to tell me not a scout could understand how Tony Romo played football, goes to the Dallas Cowboys, has a fabulous career, Jimmy Garoppolo, the same school, and not a scout, a head of college scouting, anybody could see this and figure it out? Listen to what I'm telling you, folks.
Yeah, you're right on that. It's this is your own backyard.
Yes.
You got to be able to control your own backyard.
If this was George Halas, this never would have happened. Period.
Let's take a quick timeout and get you ready for some Christmas program. Look ahead to the Vikings, 720 WGN.
You know, it's probably just a little bit, you know, there's some unfamiliarity or infamiliarity, whatever that word is, non-familiar.
Was that today?
He got right was That's the only thing he got right, that message.
He said it well, though. He said, well.
Wait, Dan Long, what was he talking about there? That was John Fox, your head coach of the Chicago Bears, for one more game.
He was talking about,
Do you know what he was talking about, Dan?
I don't have context for it.
Okay.
Can we get a countdown clock on WGN's website for the firing of Fox?
Eight days and counting, yeah. Right? Or is it seven now?
Do you think they'll do it on the Monday after the season?
Yes.
Oh. About
now,
noon?
They should do it
around
on the
about
plane
noon?
Ride home. But.
They would, on New Year's Day, they would. Are you talking about New Year's Day? You're talking about firing them on New Year's Day?
Yeah, well, that's
if
what it
was
be.
Christmas, I would say Monday, they would say no. But I'll tell you what, if we go through another miserable loss up there, I think sooner the better. Even though it is a new year, guess what? Start it out right. Get rid of them.
Well, they usually do it on Monday.
Every other coach we have on this staff and every scout that we have has to go. Has to go.
You know what we can do next week is do some New Year's resolutions to wrap up the show for the year.
Oh, that sounds really giddy.
Doesn't that, I mean.
Well, why don't we resolve to do that?
You want to resolve to do that?
All right. Let's do it.
We're all going to have one resolution.
I'll give you mine now.
Okay.
Here's my resolution for 2018.
All right. What do you got?
To all our listeners and to everybody in this room here, God's love and God's health, and may 2018 be prosperous and a very healthy year for all.
That's beautiful.
Well said, Ed.
But how are you going to be better in 2018?
He just wished it to all of us.
Because I'm going to be looking for you on your next dumbass mistake buying a car.
Wow.
And remember, not to Nick's strip shop anymore when you take your car
more,
in.
No more Nick's strip shop.
To a burglar shop where they burglarize these cars to get his car fixed. Are you kidding me?
To a chop shop.
Yeah.
What are all those wheels
stacked
up over
there? You know what he got left? It wound up as a tricycle.
Are we calling up OB come February? OB, do you have a hotline to Mike Mueller for me?
I will. Mike Mueller loves you.
We'll hopefully we'll get. I can't wait to get the wheels back after a 23-day repair sometime in the new year.
What is this? It's called Joe's Clip Shop.
They called me
What's
up.
It called?
Yes, sir. You have a 23-day repair, sir. We'll be in touch.
And you'll have three donuts and a real tire on the car.
Could I take out a life insurance policy? When you get it, and you drive it over to Mullins where you're going to dump it.
Yeah.
Please don't get hit because the airbags will not be included.
As we move along here, thanks again to Mr. Submarine, which you could all eat in your car when you get it from, what did you call it, Nick's Thrifty Shop? Good food at a tasty price.
What are all those wheels stacked up over there?
Locations throughout Chicagoland. Eat it in your messed up car. Visit MrSubmarine.com. All right, goals for the Bears in the last week versus Minnesota. What do you got? Anything? How do you wrap up the season?
Well, I don't care. That's my answer, so I'm done.
Well, and again, if Minnesota has to win to secure home field advantage, everything changes. But I will tell you this. Minnesota is a very sound football team. Are they great?
Well coached. Well coached.
Exactly. They're sound. They don't beat themselves. They don't do something, you know, stupid, you know, once a series. Their defense, not without some star type players. Everson Griffith is a damn good defensive end.
They're fast, that defense.
Yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, do we really, really care how, you know, they play? I don't know. You know, again, we've said it for the last 6 weeks. The only thing that matters is the evolution of Mitchell Trubisky. And thus far, it looks like the arrow is going the wrong way, OB.
Yes, it does. And, you know, I don't know what to say. There's so many disappointments over these last 3 years from game to game. When we play games at home that are very meaningful games, people come in here and slap us around. You guys, you listeners out there, you know what I'm talking about. Games that we should win, they come in here and beat us up. That should never happen. Not to this franchise, not in this stadium, not any time. But I'll tell you what, we hope for the best. Hope nobody really gets hurt. But I'm looking for the season to get over with, because this has just got awful, folks.
Merry Christmas to everybody, too.
Merry Christmas.
And you guys also.
And be
right
safe.
Back at you.
Be safe out there, everybody. And we'll see you on New Year's Eve after the Bears and the Minnesota Vikings at 3 o'clock. Again, our Christmas programming starting at the top of the hour. We'll, of course, be live and local with our news and sports and all that, keeping you up to date and everything going on. We will see you again next Sunday, the final one, at 3 o'clock. Bears beat the Browns 20-3. They're up to 5-10 on the season. Thanks for listening, texting, calling, and being a part of Hamp and OB with Kaz, presented by Chevy Drive Chicago.com. Merry Christmas, everyone.